I have dementia.
Some content may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion advised.
To have a resident in memory care who would say that all the time. She would just like call you over and she would go, can you help me? And you would go, yeah, what do you need help with? And she would go, I have dementia.
Oh man.
And we would go, can yeah, we help? Know. We know.
We figured that out before you,
I think. She goes, did you know I have dementia?
Yep, that's the fourth time you've told us. We yeah. sure do. Yeah. We you could go, have guessed if you...
You just say, I know.
Yes.
I know. No. We're all aware.
Oh my God.
That's why you're locked inside this building.
I would be so bad around elderly people. I would just like gaslight the fuck out of them.
Just like, elderly people. Hide your elderly people from Colin.
Hide your local grandma. Hide her.
Hide her.
Hide her. Quick. Hurry. Now. I really think that it's like a true testament of one's character to see how patient they are with old people. Or someone yeah. with dementia, because, like, patience is key for everything.
Right. Yeah.
If you're with a patient person, you're probably going to have a better time at a relationship, you know, right. or yeah. a friendship.
Yeah. I feel like I would just bamboozle the fuck out of them.
Well, I mean, it's like the whole thing with the fucking zoo and how
what?
Half of the residents...
Yeah, so
sorry.
It's next week's episode. There was a zoo in Loveland.
There was a zoo in Loveland, and I worked at a assisted living there? Community in Loveland, and the no. all the time. And my residents would tell me about this zoo that existed in Loveland, and it was like so unbelievable at the time that I was just like, okay, sure, Grandma.
Okay,
like sure,
whatever you say.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Of course, there was a zoo in Loveland. Like that makes sense. And now. I'm realizing that I was. Gaslit a bunch of people. So.
Because there was yeah. a zoo.
Yeah.
There sure there fucking sure fucking was.
Anyways, moving back to the podcast.
Welcome back. Hi. We're in a basement. And we have a special guest this week.
Oh my God, am I the special guest?
Yes.
Am I no, the guest?
That's just my voice for the rest of the podcast.
Yes, we're just trading
yeah.
bodies, you know, Freaky Friday
Freaky
style.
Friday, yeah.
Yeah, oh absolutely. Exactly.
We're on the same page.
Eddie and I know each other from UNC.
Yes.
Okay, here's what's weird. I don't think we ever had classes together.
No.
But we were friends on Instagram.
Yeah.
And had mutuals.
Yes.
And then we were
in gay circles.
Yeah, in gay circles together. Mm. You figure out what that means.
Oh, I get it. Because, like, orgies. Oh.
You don't know me.
Yes.
I'm a good Christian boy.
You believe in our
Lord and Savior.
I don't
do the sex, okay?
Okay.
No sex.
No sex, only eyes. Only eyes.
That's gonna be my new OnlyFans. Only eyes. That's it.
I love that. Yes. I would pay to see people's eyes.
Would you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you want to like get into that or?
No.
Colin's fixing the sound, so we're improvising. Yes, and?
Yes, and? So we did work at the Gender and Sexuality yes. Resource Center together.
Fun.
Absolutely.
We only probably had like 4 shifts together though.
Yeah, we were basically working opposite.
Wah-wah.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
But, yeah, we've been friends for years. I feel like we've talked for the infrequency of how much time we've actually like spent together in person. We've talked a lot.
Yes. Especially on the onlines.
Hmm. And I'm just here. And yeah. Annabelle is here. And Pancake is here. And Pancake is pissed. Because Eddie is wearing a mask of some sort. That I am sure is a fucking prop at this point.
Yes. Do you want to buckle up and
like,
we'll get into
it?
I
really didn't want to be that person that was like, your mask doesn't go with your shirt and your overalls. Because like, that's not my place.
Yellow goes with red
but
and black.
Now yeah. that I know that it's a prop, I don't feel as bad.
Yeah, well, you want to buckle up and we'll tell you about it?
Are we just going? We yes. just jumping right
We're
into
just
it?
Jumping
are we
right jumping
so excited?
In? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Do you want
to
buckle?
This is a secret I've never revealed to the world.
Eddie could buckle it.
Yeah.
That would be hot.
Okay. Do I just buckle it
yeah.
on the mic?
Yeah. I think it's hot when I buckle it,
buckle
too.
Buckle in. Fine. This is my secret.
This is your secret?
Yeah, yeah. This is a secret
do
of mine.
You,
I've
do you
never
tell
told
the
anyone.
People?
Yeah. I'm a furry.
Do you know what a fursona
yeah,
is?
Yeah, do you know what a furry is?
Jesus, She's speechless.
She's dead.
She's like, you brought a furry into my house?
She's like, burn it down to the ground.
What?
So if you, for the people at home, a persona is a personalized animal identity of a furry.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who identifies within anamorphic conditions.
And I'm a cat.
Meow. Meow.
Oh my God. Okay, but where did the furry movement come from?
What?
At Stonewall. Stonewall.
I don't know. I'm going to pass away.
In 1970, the underground comics...
Okay. You have to get closer to the mic, bitch.
In 1970, the underground comic... I cannot hold this up for much longer. Welcome, Sonia Rita!
We lied to you.
Sorry. We bamboozled
you. Yeah, we lied.
So, who are you, Sonia Rita?
I'm a drag queen from here in Northern Colorado.
Wait.
Yeah, I'm a drag queen from Northern Colorado. I've been performing for 5 years. I started out at UNC, and now I just perform wherever books me because I want money.
Wait, so you're not a furry?
No, I'm not a furry. No. I mean, I am furry, but I'm not a furry.
Okay.
No, I'm just disrespect a drag queen. To furries.
Yeah, no disrespect to furries.
It's so funny. I literally thought...
You're going to have to sit through an hour of
the history of furries.
I thought I was going to have to be so nice.
No.
Pink cake. We were almost in the presence of a furry. You could have fucking, and listen, like, you could have kept that joke going for so much longer, and I would have had to just sit here and suffer because I don't want to be a bad person. But like, a furry? Oh my God.
Yeah, so... Sonia Rita is not a furry, but is
a drag queen.
A drag queen.
A drag queen?
Oh.
Bitch, I'm the queen of drag, to quote RuPaul.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I kind of want to get some background about Sonia Rita.
Oh, okay, yeah, absolutely.
I think I've seen you two exchange on Twitter.
Yeah.
All the time.
That's what, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Sierra,
that's how I was like, could we get away with this lie?
Well,
I was like, I don't know if we could.
I didn't know what you looked like. I just saw, like, the name.
Right.
And I don't even know what you look like in drag. Mm-hmm.
So I did show you a photo. Last time I was at your house, you were like, so who are you having at my house? I said, oh, it's my friend Eddie. And you're like, can I see a picture? And I chose the most, like, bland, least queer photo. Mm. I was like, okay.
Was it the one where I'm wearing the like Lin-Manuel hat?
Probably.
Okay.
This looks like someone that might not do drag.
So at this point, we already decided we were lying.
Well, no, it's Blind React. So I wanted her to not know.
Oh, okay. So from the get-go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because if she knew that there was going to be a little drag party.
You guys
should
have kept that bit up for so much longer.
I know. It was hard. I don't even know what to say if I am a furry. Like, I don't know.
I literally like looked up the history of furries for that segment. But
for the lie,
I couldn't keep it going. I'm like,
that's in your Google search now.
Well,
yeah.
Is that why you were wearing the mask?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also use it in drag.
Okay.
So that wasn't completely a lie, but the reason I have it.
I was just like, okay.
You know.
Yeah. Cool. It's a prop. It was not a prop that I thought it was going to be.
Mm. See, if I could have found an actual, like...
I would have vomited. Big mask. I would
have. Honestly, though, I think I would be embarrassed to, like, walk around with that.
Oh, my God.
Especially because you had neighbors out. I would not come out of my car with that kind of mask.
Bitch, I wouldn't let you into my house with that kind of mask.
Pancake wouldn't let you within, like, 5 miles.
She barely wants you here. Look at her. She's getting herself
She's angry.
She is angry. Oh, come here.
Or she's...
Come here.
I have to get up anyway.
Don't take it personally that Pancake's being a dick. She's like, this
oh, no,
with, like,
I don't
everyone.
Take it personally.
Don't take it personally that I'm turning everyone's fucking channel down.
No, you're dead. We're probably loud as fuck. We're gay, okay? We're gay and loud.
Happy Pride.
White and loud.
Yeah, it's the middle of Pride Month.
Yeah,
oh, my God. Happy Pride.
See, I'm an ally.
Yeah. Honestly, I was like, this is going to be so hard to find this house. And then I saw it.
We just put up our, because we're going to the Women's March on Sunday.
I love that.
We just put up our signs that we're going to take with us. mine says make vasectomies mandatory.
Yes.
Amen. And my body is none of your business. And then Annabelle has, what is it? Safe and accessible abortions for all genders.
Fuck yeah.
And then Annabelle made another one that said the majority doesn't agree with you. Right? Okay.
That's true.
Colin's looking at me. Let's go.
Yeah. Let's go. So speaking of podcasts, Sonia Rita also has a podcast.
I do.
So what's your story? How'd you get into drag?
Yes. So I credit me getting into drag, honestly, to Drag Race because I'm just a part of that group of people. I started watching Drag Race when I worked at King Soopers, and I was a courtesy clerk, so I would just walk around and sweep the whole store because they fired our maintenance person. So they were like, let's just throw this hard labor onto a child.
Oh my God.
Literally, it would take me an hour and a half to sweep the whole store because that's how big that store was. And they wanted us to sweep every 2 hours, which was not... It didn't happen. Anyway, side tangent. Whenever I was sweeping, I would take my sweet time in the makeup aisle because I was just like, ooh, this looks like so much
fun. Oh, yeah.
And because I was in drama club, I would buy a lot and tell my mom, oh, this is for drama club. But no, I was just practicing drag makeup in my bedroom. Like I said, I was watching Drag Race at the time. So this was I don't know what season was airing, but I was watching season 4, 5, and 6 because those are the ones that were on Hulu. And then when I came up to UNC, I started, which was 2016. I went to their drag show my first year. And then the second year I started performing. And after that is just, it's been a mess, but it's been
how old are you?
A glorious
25
mess.
In June. So I'm 24 right now. I'm 24 right now, but I'm 25 in June.
Okay.
So,
25 when this airs.
Yeah. Oh, 25 gotcha. When this airs.
Happy
probably.
Birthday.
Yeah,
are you a Cancer?
No, I'm a Gemini. June 18th. That's my birthday.
You know what
and
I talked about?
My social security number is... Please open all the credit cards you want.
This is my mom's maiden name, and this was my first pet, and this was my favorite elementary school
teacher. This is my favorite board game.
Yeah.
You know how I talked about knowing one Gemini and liking one Gemini?
Is that me? Oh. Yes. Wait, you're an Aries. How do you only like one Gemini?
I think I only know one Gemini.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh.
I have a Gemini moon.
Honestly, the worst moon to have would probably be Cancer. Let's be honest. Emotions.
I have a bitch of a time over here, man. I have known one Gemini in my life, and her and I did not get along.
Wait, what's your sun sign?
What do you think I am?
Oh my gosh. You're putting me on the spot.
Yeah.
You're giving me Aquarius vibes. No?
No.
Okay, it's a fire sign then.
No.
Oh. Wow, how am I that off?
It should be a fire sign.
Scorpio?
Wow. I'm a Scorpio.
Okay. Okay.
I should be a fire sign, but I'm one of those Scorpios that's
you give fire sign vibes.
I will fuck your dad.
Hard.
But also, I'm gonna cry about it later.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna tell anybody that I cried about it later.
He was so wrinkly.
Yeah. Or just you're so nice to me. That's the essence of being a Scorpio.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Also, I'm gonna make you feel your feelings, but God, if you ask me about mine. Honestly, I'm gonna fuck you.
Do you even know what your feelings are? You're a Gemini moon.
I'm a Gemini moon. I have no idea what's going on up here most of the time. This is honestly fucking empty. I don't know.
Funny.
Yeah. That's fucking crazy.
I love that.
Okay. Anyways, what's happening?
Okay. Do you want to actually buckle up this time?
Okay.
Is there a story now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Story time.
Now we're going to buckle up and talk about real shit.
About drag.
About drag. And not about
drag. Thank God. Race. Okay, because listen.
Are you a fan of drag?
I am.
I heard the click.
So, yeah, I consider myself an ally.
I see a little someone staring at me, my mother's.
Our moms are on my water bottle currently. I know about drag, but in a very limited sense.
Right.
In the fact that, when Annabelle moved in, I wasn't, super exposed to drag, but I knew what drag was about. And, there weren't, tons of, gay scenes that I was involved in right. California. It was mostly just, trying to get shot, but like we can't really worry about the gay people as well. Like, there's a lot going on, man. So I didn't like know a ton about it. And then when Annabelle moved in with me, she started showing, she would just have like YouTube on in the background while we were talking or whatever. And would be on.
So good.
And I'm like, I've seen clips of this, but I've never actually like watched it. And so we sat down and watched like the first full season. And I was like, I'm obsessed with this.
It's so
and
good.
Then we watched every single season together, compilations, the bloopers, like everything related. I literally bought WoW Presents Plus.
Same.
So that I could watch. I still have it. And we haven't been keeping up, but we watched the first episode of the season. But I also like partake in like Trixie's community as well of right. like I watch a lot of her YouTube videos and like I follow her and Katya on Twitter and stuff like that, and like I always watch like whatever content Katya and Trixie put out. And then Annabelle and I went to their live show in Denver at the end of March.
Oh wait, no, I went when it was just Trixie. I'm jealous. Yeah, you got to see both of
we
them.
Went to Trixie and Katya live.
You didn't so invite fun. Me?
I'm just kidding. I yeah. literally had no idea who How you were rude. Until 5 minutes ago when I thought you were a furry. So I don't know anything anymore. But yeah, it was so much fun. Yeah. And I felt like I was probably the straightest one in the room. And I know about them. And I know a little bit about Bob the drag queen. And right. like, you're very like, I hate to say it, but you're very like stereotypical, like mainstream. And I don't like watch Drag Race.
It's easy to know them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. And I don't like actively watch tons right. of Drag Race. I watch like stupid compilation videos yeah. on YouTube.
Cause honestly, that's the way to go though.
Fun. And I constantly say, what the fuck is going on here on this day? Constantly. So yeah, that's all I got.
So, Miss Sonia Rita, yes. What is drag?
So, honestly, it depends on who you ask, but I feel like the most common responses you'll get is gender play or gender performance, or like the very old-fashioned response that it's supposedly an acronym that is dress resembling a girl or something like that. It's very, supposedly it was written in Shakespeare. There's like,
well, we're probably we'll going to talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. So I'll leave a little bit for later. But that was supposedly something that was written in like the scripts in Shakespeare. But there really isn't like anything to back that story up. There's another story which we'll talk about later.
She says, stop talking with your fucking hands, man.
I'm gay.
I'm gay.
Come here.
Come you know what would suck being gay and it. Italian?
Oh my god.
Your hands like, would you fall off.
You have fucking broken wrists all the time.
Like, just flailing chicken. Oh my
god. Somebody told me today in response to our episode that went out that they like my giggle.
Aww.
And now I'm self-conscious about it.
Your Is it giggle? A cute boy who told you that?
No.
How rude.
Your giggle.
My giggle.
You have a giggle?
Apparently I do.
A giggle. Okay. I have a jiggle.
Me as well. I feel like I am in a gay tornado right now. Mm. I feel like I woke up this morning, little old me, Dorothy. Straight Dorothy in her straight world in straight Kansas where everything is black and white because there's no color because it's all straight and sad and boring and it sucks. And I come down here to my little fucking basement and then this gay tornado just rips through the goddamn house and I get so swept out of here and two people join me in the basement and they're gay fairies.
Oh my god.
That's what I feel like is happening
honestly,
right now.
Honestly.
Pretty much. That's pretty much what's happening.
Oh my god. I'm sorry. I don't mean to yell into the mic, but god damn it.
No, that was, I keep that was turning good... our channels down.
Yeah.
That was a great.
Thank you.
I just, Dorothy.
I'm so like, what's going on? I feel like I'm in fairyland.
Retweet, dude.
In like a good way, not in like
good.
A like
derogatory
gay
way.
Fairy way.
Yeah.
Not
honestly,
that kind of way.
That's the best derogatory term that they ever came up for gay people.
Yeah.
Fairy?
Thank you.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yes,
you're,
I am.
You're welcome. Kidding. Yeah. Okay.
Next question.
Yes.
Who can perform in drag?
Who can perform in drag? Nobody. Everyone sucks. No one does drag well. I'm just kidding.
It's not performance. It sucks.
Except for me, Sonia Rita.
I am the only good drag queen to have ever existed. No, anyone can perform in drag.
Nobody, everybody sucks.
Here's the thing. Like, there's arguments all the time about who can perform in drag, and it's like, it literally defeats the purpose to say who can perform in drag. Like, performing in drag is all about, like, breaking gender stereotypes and, like, doing things that aren't necessarily a part of the norm.
Right.
So it's like, to say this person cannot do drag is creating a new norm.
Right.
And it's saying these are the rules. Especially the irony comes when, you know, like, the majority of the people who are making these rules about who can perform in drag are cis gay men, usually white. So it's like kind of ironic that, you know, this art form was created to subvert hetero culture, but then within that culture we're like, oh, but you have to look like a real woman, and you have to wear these wigs and these nails, and you have to perform this way, and only drag queens are valid. And I'm just like, shut up. Shut up. Like, why are you just sucking the fun out of everything? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
No kidding.
Diversity in everything is always amazing, so.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Something from your podcast.
Yes.
What the Drag. Mm-hmm. We didn't say the name of it earlier.
What the Drag.
What the Drag. That you mentioned, and I think people should go back and listen to this episode. You talked about your pronouns inside and outside of drag.
Yes.
Would you mind
absolutely
telling us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, you know, being a drag performer, we kind of create a whole other persona where, like, it kind of is its own person, kind of like a furry.
Jail.
You know, but...
Jail.
So, like, out of drag...
Don't make me commit a hate crime.
Against furries.
Yeah.
But, like, out of drag, I'm Eddie, and I prefer they/them pronouns. Out of drag, I'm comfortable with he/him pronouns, but, like, ew. Fuck, man. And in drag, I prefer she/her pronouns because it's like that's what I'm giving. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how else to explain it. Maybe there's a more straight way to explain it, but I don't know. It's just the energy. You know what I mean? Like
who you
when
are.
Someone comes to me, when I have a 5-foot wig on my head, eyelashes to the heavens, cut crease cut for the gods, and heels bigger than most guys' dicks.
Period.
And I'm called a he/him. I get disgusted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I did not put all of this work to be referred to as a man. Okay. Yeah,
period.
I don't care if you see my facial hair and my body hair and you think, oh, that's a he/him, but baby, this is a she/her.
Yes, ma'am.
This tornado's crazy, man.
Okay, and now we're actually going to get into it. Thank you for all
of
that.
Of course.
Now we're going to go back in time because we want to find out where this gay tornado all started.
Where drag started?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So if you go to Genesis, I'm just kidding. There was Adam and Steve. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, let's go. I'm in the time machine.
Everyone who's named Steve has 2 less ribs for some reason.
It's weird.
Too many Bible jokes for the day.
We got to get out of here, man. They're going to start coming after our time machine.
Yeah.
We're going to go.
Yeah. So depending on who you ask, we should either start our adventure in Shakespearean days or the late 1800s. But
I'll eat it all up, baby.
If we shart, we could get there even quicker. I don't know how it works, but it usually does the trick.
Yikes.
I cannot.
But if we start in Shakespearean times, men cross-dressing to play a woman's part was a vehicle of oppression.
Oh, yeah.
So,
facts.
I'm sure there were places women were allowed in theater, but for the most part, women weren't. So when you had a woman part, men would play those parts.
Mm-hmm.
And one theory is when men would dress up as women, they would wear long dresses, which would drag on the floor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that may be the source. And you mentioned
the whole acronym as dressed resembling a girl or something like that. I think it's more likely the fact that their dress is dragged on the floor. And they didn't call, like, dressing up like a woman being in drag, but they called being in those dresses, like, their drag. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, let's get in the drag.
Oh, let's go get in our drags.
Yes.
Yeah, which makes more sense, like,
Gotta do my British talk. Or not go get in the drag.
She's bobbing her like, head.
Just go back and forth.
Yeah, we're not going back to Shakespearean times. Oh. Instead, we're going back only 150 years
oh my God.
To America.
America. This is
America. It's post-Civil War.
Civil War. It's post-Civil War. Let's call it a world
now. I just like it when Eddie's here because Colin fucks up. And instead of me sitting over here and giggling and Colin restarting the sentence, you just drag it out.
Bitch. Oh, I love it.
World. You drag it
world,
out.
Baby. Give us a world. Give us a civil war, baby.
For the listeners, this is a very common occurrence. I'm not a great speaker, just to begin with. And when I'm reading something, it just fucking sucks. Yeah. So I restart all the time. Mm. And the only episode that I think made it out the door where I couldn't restart all the time was the Boston Massachusetts one.
Because that was the funniest thing ever. Like, it's, there's no way. It's on a t-shirt now. So funny, dude.
Oh, man. So it's post-Civil War.
Okay.
And the Confederacy fell. Thank God. And it led to the southern states in ruins. So there's this weird time of reconstruction and trying to uphold the new laws that you passed allowing people not to be enslaved anymore.
Right. A bunch of white people trying to figure out their fucking mistakes.
Yeah. Right. And then along comes President Andrew Johnson passing.
Whom?
Is it Jackson? It's Johnson.
Sorry, I don't know white men usually.
It's Andrew Jackson? I'm pretty sure.
No, it is Johnson.
Okay, Johnson.
He was the 17th U.S. president.
There is an Andrew Johnson?
Yeah, because...
Sounds about white.
Because Lincoln was 16th, so... Okay.
Okay, so, that didn't clear anything up for me, but...
it's just confirmation.
You're fine. Yep.
So along comes President Andrew Johnson passing Black Codes, which is the first time it's codified after emancipation, controlling formerly enslaved Black Americans. So we come out of... Hey, everybody's free. Yay. To no, let's not quite. Regulate people. This is, we're just,
No.
This is too much.
Too much freedom.
Too much freedom.
Who are we going to oppress right after that? The women? Yeah. We're already doing that. we have so much time. We need to oppress them again.
So within a decade, white supremacy had risen up again. And had been essentially restored in the South without the whole, oh, you can own slaves.
Cool.
So
we did it.
That's everyone. Not really what we're here for, but the context is important because at this point it's 1870. We're in Harlem, New York.
Why do we gasp?
And the Harlem Shake.
Oh.
I don't know if that has anything to do with this, but that's why I gasp.
What? The Harlem shit. What year is it?
2016? Oh, no. No.
I'm going to vomit. All right, we got to keep going. Holy shit.
Black fraternal organizations in Harlem start hosting masquerade ball fundraisers.
Fun.
Initially, these were created by heterosexual men, but these balls created a safe environment for queer people to appear publicly in drag.
Balls.
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 We love balls.
Right. 6 years old. Balls.
Balls.
And at the time, cross-dressing was taboo, and in some places even illegal. But it was also illegal to be gay in public. So if you cross-dressed, it provided an avenue to where if you don't get caught cross-dressing, you can kiss your lover in public.
Something that's they nice. Would do during this time period is because it was illegal to dress in clothes that made people think you were the opposite gender. Like, that was the wording. It's like, people can't think you're the opposite gender. People would cross-dress, but wear little signs that say, I am a man or I am a boy. Do not be arrested. Because then it's like, you're not trying to fool anybody, quote-unquote. Yeah. You're, like, straight up saying,
that's crazy.
I'm a man. I'm just dressed this way.
You're not bamboozling. And then they wouldn't arrest them.
We love loopholes.
They are bamboozling them.
Yeah, literally.
They got... just as bamboozled as hard as I did just now.
Literally.
Yeah. Well, getting away, getting around hateful law, you know.
Yeah.
We love
that. We gotta find a way. Yep. If there's a hateful law, there's a way around.
Yes. Through it. For all laws.
Yes.
Yep.
a cab. Just in case anyone forgot.
Okay, and this is the same time that drag becomes performance art. It was a way for people to express themselves and be a little over the top with their expression. Often, it was built into entertainment for heterosexual people, which made the art, like, actually survive. Like, you had the queer people that were participating and supporting it, but you also had support from heterosexual people, which, first of all, provides a broader audience, but also...
money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pancake just perfectly put this fly on my foot. Aww. Thank you, Pancake.
We need allies.
Yes.
Pancake is...
the ultimate ally.
Pancake is an ally, but she has committed some war crimes. So take that however you need to.
World crimes.
World crimes.
World crimes. Civil world crimes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of Harlem's biggest balls was the one... I didn't even think of, like...
biggest balls.
Balls! Balls! It's gosh. Funny. We're one of those podcasts now.
Balls.
Balls. I didn't even think of that. One of Harlem's most...
popular dance parties. It's a dance party.
Most popular ball. Okay. Was the one hosted at Hamilton Lodge number 710. It was a club for wealthy Black Americans, but it wasn't necessarily segregated. It was a diverse crowd. There were people of different races, genders, and sexual orientations. There were women dressing up in men's clothes and men dressing up in women's clothes. And this is where the first drag competitions happened. Men would compete in a pageant, dressed in women's clothes, in a variety of categories.
It's like Survivor, but drag.
Yeah.
And old time.
Yes. Yep.
And exactly. White?
So the judges were pretty much white.
Okay. Yes.
And the people that are winning these competitions are white. Even though...
Well, it's not for you, technically. I mean, but it is. Ooh.
So a little bit before these balls existed, they held drag balls a little bit after slavery was... I don't even know what the word is called, but...
ratified.
Yeah, well, when it wasn't a thing anymore.
But abolished.
Like, yes.
Yes, that's the word.
So the first drag queen that we know of that like referred to as a drag queen, their name was William Dorsey Swan. Period. And so Black Americans at the time would hold balls where they would perform cakewalks, is what they were called.
Oh, God.
Basically making fun of their previous, you know,
owners.
White people.
Yeah.
They were making fun of white people.
Yeah.
So like that was the framework for these balls that Colin is talking about. Yeah.
That's so interesting because I know I've heard of that, but I did not come across that at all when I and part of it is the resources out there are not good.
Oh, there's not a lot. Yeah. You definitely have to dig.
Yes, yeah.
Two things. Okay, first thing, you said street address was 710. You said 710 something.
Number 710.
Number 710. Mm, yeah. I have a conspiracy theory because 710 is 420 doubled. So I think that this is a marijuana scheme. Second thing.
Now I'm doing the math.
Shut up. Everybody shut up. Second thing, before I fucking lose it, I'm going to lose it. Did I lose it? Oh, they should make the people in RuPaul's Drag Race have to do like a history quiz.
Yes. Thing. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Because goddamn it, I don't know any of this shit. And I feel like I've been a fake ally this entire time.
I don't think a lot of queer people know this history.
No. Yeah.
I just recently learned about like where the walks come from and that history.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. I've had people while I'm playing that kind of music come up to me and be like, oh, that's like white twink music. But that music was like originally created by Black Americans, Black queer Americans. So the fact that like now a lot of that culture is just like thrown at like white skinny men. It's like, you know, like that's just not the history of the music. That's not the history of the drag. That's not the history of a lot of things in queer culture. Yeah. And a lot of times it's leaving out, you know, the fact that Black queer Americans are honestly like the creators of popular queer culture right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
But also that's not to say that if you don't know about like queer history, right. you're any less of like a queer
oh
person?
No yeah, absolutely no. not
but I could just see that like right. especially with the way that things go on Twitter or not Twitter I mean everywhere right Literally. Now to be completely honest but like especially like Gen Zers they love to just like fucking flip on you immediately oh, yeah. where if you're trying to understand something they just at least from what I've seen they kind of turn it around on you and say like no but you can't have that
right
And I'm like, I'm not trying to have it. I just want to right. learn about it.
No, literally. And here's the thing. Like, that history was, like, purposefully hidden.
Right.
So it's, like, the fact that people don't know that is literally not their fault.
Yeah.
But that's why we learn. And that's yeah. why right. we, you know, that's right. why we continue to grow yeah. as human beings. And we have to let people have that room.
Yeah. Well, and if you don't know what you're looking for, you're not going to.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
And what's interesting, I knew about cakewalks from right. jazz history.
Yeah, because like, it became really popular in France. And then that's what popularized cakewalk.
I think I learned about cakewalks in, like, music appreciation.
Yeah, it was, mm-hmm. no, it was my jazz history class we talked about. Yeah. I didn't associate it with France. I but
right.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah, so we're going to zoom ahead a little bit.
Okay.
Yas.
Yas. By the 1920s, so it's been 50 years of drag balls.
Not tucked God away.
Damn it.
These balls were not tucked, baby.
Just dragging these balls tucked everywhere,
drag
man.
Drag balls.
That's the name of the episode. Balls.
Drag balls.
Balls dragging.
Dragging my balls.
Oh, my Lanta. You guys are 6 and a half.
Sorry.
Actually, say? I'm turning 7 in June.
Jesus Christ. Okay. What do I say instead of the DB word?
Keep saying the DB word.
Keep saying it. You got it. It's in your script.
So, yeah.
Drag balls.
Drag had been very closely tied to the queer community.
Yes.
Okay.
And drag balls were considered taboo to the outside world, and in some places, even illegal. This put competitions underground, which is actually part of the reason they grew. Drag audiences had grown from a couple hundred to thousands, and people were loving that it was illegal. It was this exciting thing. Gay nightlife was just taking off. And it's by like 19...
Huh? Yeah.
It's like Prohibition.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. It same was time Prohibition. Period. Yeah. By 1929, the Hamilton Lodge Ball had to turn away 2,000 attendees, and in 1936, the ball had 8,000 attendees total.
Damn.
So
the ball had 8,000 little sperms in it.
Sperm.
I'm sorry. That's cool. No.
Spermatozoa. Is that how you say that?
Spermatozoa.
Spermatozoa. Spermatozoa.
That's my drag name now. Thanks for the inspo.
My drag name is just whatever my Twitter username is, and right now it's just Hot Pocket Bong.
Honestly, Hot Pocket Bong is, and welcome to the stage, Hot Pocket Bong!
Oh my God. I don't think I've changed mine in years.
Annabelle's is Cat Piss Buttercream.
That's also a good drag name.
That's her name in my phone, and every time I like, yeah, every time I search for Annabelle, I'm like, this isn't right, what's her name?
Yeah, it is a Katia line.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Ugh, I can't so take good. Credit for that.
They would know.
They would know.
So another reason why drag was growing so rapidly was the Harlem Renaissance.
Yes.
So this is a time period in the 1920s where black culture was flourishing. It was a cultural mecca, including stage performance, music, art, poetry, and more. So black artists are exploring gender, sex, sexuality in their work. A lot of these artists were gay and visible, and this also opened the door for drag performance. Gladys Bentley is a great example of this.
I think I know about this person.
Yes. So she was a black lesbian cross-dressing blues singer and pianist.
Legend.
Uh-huh. She was openly gay and would often sing raunchy lyrics and flirt with women in the audience.
Oh my God, I want to do that.
Right?
Do it.
In addition, she often featured a chorus line of drag queens. So she's not only...
Oh my God, how fun.
She's not only being black and queer yeah. and open about it on stage, but
and
she's...
making money.
Ugh. Honestly, I kind of love that, like, she was, like, the headliner, and then she had her, like, chorus of drag queens, because I feel like nowadays, drag kings are kind of pushed aside. So seeing her, like, you know, have the center stage and it's her show and she's backed by drag queens. Like, that's such a... I'm like, how are they farther ahead back then than, like, a lot of drag shows now?
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. So people were coming to New York in droves to experience culture.
Yeah.
And this is the same time of the pansy craze. Mm-hmm. So this was a time period
The panty craze. Panties.
Gay, lesbian, and trans performers are taking stages across the country, allowing queer culture to spread. It wasn't just queer people participating, it was also straight men and women who were interested in the queer culture. And, like, that sounds fucking obnoxious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. This was also a time of severe persecution, and so it wasn't really a bad thing. It provided a cover, like...
If straight people can do it, we can do it too.
Well, yeah, so we're at a gay bar. That doesn't mean I'm gay.
Right. I'm just cross-dressing, baby.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's like that type of allyship where you're participating in queer spaces without taking them over, I think is like really important to solidifying queer spaces and keeping them around.
Right.
The only taking over I did when I was at Charlie's with You on your birthday was the fucking dance floor.
Iconic. That's the only thing I'll let straight people take over the dance floor. I love watching straight people dance, okay? There,
man. Fucking it up, man. Oh,
this honestly also reminds me of, like, last season of Drag Race, they had the first ever straight drag queen to be on the show. And a lot of people were really mad about
it.
And I'm just like, here's the thing. Like, I understand the whole point of view of this position, this spot in the show could have been given to a queer person. And at the same time, like, seeing a straight man go on national television and, like, decide to break gender roles in the ways that queer people do it, like, is also important. It's also moving us forward. Wasn't that, you know,
Who was that?
Maddie Morphosis.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And also, like, Maddie Morphosis' girlfriend, she's bisexual, she's a woman, and she does drag as a drag queen. So it's like, even her just being on the show can maybe even provide that platform for maybe the show to include another cis woman on the show. Because so far, there's only been one cis woman on the show, and that was Victoria Scone in Drag Race UK. So it's like, we kind of need that representation in the US too. Come on, let's get it.
Yeah. Mm. There's a difference between... Bachelor.
Right.
That show,
there's the 12 women.
Yeah, and it's like the Vine. That's how the dating show is built, whatever. And that show has been problematic because of its racist history.
Right.
And I think they're trying to grapple with it, whatever. But...
And their sizest history.
Yeah, literally. That too. I've
never once seen anybody over the size 14 on that fucking show.
Yeah, so...
Any dating show, but...
But I think that if a show like that is excluding people, that's hurtful.
Right.
But if a show like Drag Race is excluding people, the exclusivity of queer spaces is because there aren't spaces like Bachelor for queer people to be in.
Right. It depends on who Drag Race is excluding. Because let's say, you know, it decided to exclude straight people. That's not going to offend me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how many straight drag performers are there anyways? Like, I don't know. But, if, like, Drag Race... well, not Drag Race, but RuPaul himself in the past has come out and said that he won't have trans women on the show who've had specific surgeries. That, in my opinion, is harmful.
Right.
And, like, is holding back the queer community.
Yeah.
Because we're saying, oh... Like, queerness is okay as long as you're not a trans woman who's gotten a boob job.
Yeah. Well, you know what especially I mean? Because the art was created by fucking trans women.
Trans people, yeah, exactly.
Like,
you can't exclude the people who created the art, baby. Like, come on.
Yeah, so.
Facts.
I'm learning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we had the pansy craze.
We did.
Panty craze.
So we've talked a little bit about this, but now we're going to talk a lot about it. This is an art form built by queer people of color, so it's probably free from white supremacy, right?
No, nothing is.
What? What do you mean? What do we do this time? What are the white people doing? Right.
Well,
what didn't thing they I have to be sorry for?
Let's go back to that pot lodge, the Hamilton Lodge number 710
competition.
No!
Which started in the 1870s. And even though it was interracial, the competition did not see a black contestant win until 1936. 69 years after.
4269, baby.
Yeah!
69 years after their first ball. Almost 70 years of people dressing up, going out.
Yeah.
It's fucking built
it up. In like, a good way and a bad way.
Literally.
It's mine. I'm not surprised, but I'm shocked.
It also just proves this whole concept that history is a pendulum. Because, like, when it, like, these drag bars were started right after slavery, it was literally just black people making fun of white people. So, like, the winners of these events were probably black people. Then it goes, you know, oh, now the power is back in the hands of white people. And now white people are only winning these competitions. Yeah. And then later on, we'll see that changes again.
So this pattern of white queens getting preference over queens of color continued for decades and still does today. In 1967, after calling out Miss All-America Camp Beauty Pageant for discriminating against black and Latina contestants, black trans queen Crystal LaBeija founded her own competition called the House of LaBeija Ball.
Damn, that's fun.
Like and the House of LaBeija still exists today.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So it was exclusive to black, Latinx, trans, gay, and queer people. And it was the first of many houses. So Sonia probably knows more about houses than I do. I was trying to figure out how to put it into words.
So this is about the time where I would say like drag culture kind of goes into like a fork. And we get this emphasis on like beauty pageants over here on the right turn. Uh-huh. And then we have this emphasis on like performance on the left turn. Mm-hmm. And it also like forks out and creates like ballroom culture.
Right.
Which is like voguing and all of that fun stuff. Which is not like there's an overlap with drag, but it's also its own thing that sometimes does not involve drag queens, or drag performers, I should say. Houses are this concept of like, you have your house mother, in most cases is usually a trans woman, who takes in like house children, and these are just queer people that she finds and like basically homes and takes care of because their families, you know, weren't good people and disowned
no.
them. Yes. So then they like hold competitions where they, you know, walk different categories, things like that. It's really interesting and it's a fun rabbit hole to fall down. I definitely think that like strays a little bit from drag. Like I said, it does have that like, that overlap.
Yeah.
Especially because in drag, we have a similar concept of like a drag mother, which is like the person who puts you in drag the first time and like teaches you the ropes on how to be a drag performer, and drag houses, which is a very similar concept to like just houses because like it's just all drag performers instead of just like queer people.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of overlap and both take inspiration from each other. I would say that drag takes more inspiration from ball culture than ball culture takes from drag.
That's... I need a goddamn flowchart for this. I am so, like, I'm trying so hard to keep up.
It's a lot. Well,
and I, see, this is where I went back and forth on my notes and I kept telling Sonia, I was like, I'll get you notes tomorrow. I'll get you notes tomorrow.
You're like,
because I was like, I kept reading about ball culture and I was like, this does not make sense with what I know and what, but it seemed like it fit in. I don't know. It was very confusing to me.
Like the reason there might be a lot of this confusion is because like in that time period, they didn't really have a lot of the language we have today. So a lot of trans women identified as drag queens, even though they lived their lives as women.
Yeah.
But because that's the language they had, they referred to themselves as drag queens. So maybe that's why there's a lot of like confusion as to like what is what. But honestly, it's one of those scenarios where like you don't want to like you know, put things on people from the past that they didn't identify as. And at the same time, like, there is a clear difference between some of the, like, beauty pageant queens of the South who lived their lives as white men and then they just got into drag to perform in beauty pageants versus, like, black women who defined themselves as drag queens at the time. Do you see what I'm going with? Like, yeah. There's a clear difference with how they're living their lives.
Yeah.
But they use the same language to talk about themselves just because the language just wasn't there yet.
Right.
But nowadays, you know, we can say, like, oh, they were probably trans because this is how they lived their lives. So we can make more of a distinction and kind of see that fork in the road.
Right.
Versus at the time, it was more.
Yeah.
We're just vibing.
Well, and I think that's a really interesting, like, just thought in general of how much our language limits us on how we live our lives.
Right.
Like, we have so many boxes we can put ourselves in now and self-describe ourselves, but we still don't have everything. Like,
right.
I feel like most queer people I know fall into the box of ambiguity where they're just like, I'm not really this, I'm not really that, I'm somewhere in the middle.
Nothing is
like
one or two options, you know? Yeah, and a lot of times I feel like our brains try to organize things in that way. So you're talking
here's
about ambiguity.
Here's Sierra's straight ally tip of the day. All right, everybody shut the fuck up and listen, because that's what I've been doing. Right, I'm not trying to find a way to relate to any of this. I'm not trying to find a way to put myself in, you know, situations that could be somewhat like kind of the same in a little bit way. I'm just listening and I'm giving.
I'm oppressed too.
Yeah, like I'm not trying to do any of that shit. Like, me being a woman does not make you guys any less queer, and you being queer does not make me any less woman. And so when people have conversations like this, and I know, like, here's the thing, I know that we are not like the gayest podcast on the planet. We're in a basement. Like, that's not what we advertise ourselves.
We're in a closet, baby.
Right. We're in the closet in the basement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, we don't advertise ourselves, I guess, or market ourselves as, like, you know, that.
Well, and I think part of it, like, I'm very much an ally when I talk about it.
Right.
But my allyship for queer people is unfortunately a lot less because I pass very well, and I've always passed very well as a straight person. And I don't have a lot of the baggage of other queer people, so I feel like my level of allyship, it's not the same coming from someone that has actually struggled with their identity more than I have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that still doesn't discount any of the I'm not. What I'm trying to say is that when people in the queer community are having these conversations, it's up to people that are not in the queer community but are allies to shut the fuck up and listen.
Definitely.
And that's exactly what I'm doing, because this is not my topic. This is not my thing. I'm learning a lot. I'm in a gay tornado. Right. Everybody needs to be in a gay tornado and chill the fuck out and just calm down.
Yeah.
Because guess what? The world's a gay tornado. All right. Facts. Whether you like it or not. Yeah. And everybody's a little bit gay.
Something a lot of straight people forget is that these conversations also affect them.
Right.
So a conversation that happens a lot in the queer community is, what is a woman? And a lot of straight cis white guys would like to have you believe that a woman is a vessel for a baby. If you can't have babies, you're not a woman. Therefore, trans women are not women because they can't have babies. But then where does that put cis women who are infertile? You know what I mean? Like that. Defining womanhood as can you have a baby is very objectifying, not just for trans women and, you know, nullifying their identities, but it's also very nullifying to cis women who can't have babies. Yeah. So these conversations as to how do we define our identities affects literally everyone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if we define a man by, oh, having a penis, okay, let's say in an unfortunate accident, you lost your penis.
Oh no, penis!
Yes, you're no longer a man, you know what I mean?
Fuck.
Like, it's one of those things where these definitions do affect straight people. They just live in their bubble where they think, well, currently I fit into the definition of privilege.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with my privilege and I'm going to side with my privilege.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and here's something that was interesting to me. You talked about taking a step back when it's not your narrative.
Right.
when I was preparing for this, I had no like I knew that there was a little bit of Black culture involved. I did not realize that the entirety of drag was built off of Black culture.
Right.
Because I know that this isn't my narrative. This isn't like my story to tell.
There's still a way to talk about it with and do yes. it justice. It's just like what I did with Tupac. It's not my story. It's not my narrative to tell, but it's a story that I think other people should know about.
Also, I would argue that it is our job to, as allies, to, in the right time, tell these stories.
Right.
Because right. a lot of times, racist white people aren't going to be listening to Black people
yeah.
who are telling their stories.
Yeah.
But when a white person says, hey, you're being racist, and this is this Black person's story, like, then they listen.
Right.
So, obviously, you need to, like, as an ally, you need to learn time and place.
Yeah.
Whether, for whatever community you're an ally for. Like, I would never... You know, there's a lot going on with the rights for women right now. I would never go to a women's march and take the podium and speak over women.
Right.
But, yeah. like, when I am in circles where I am being perceived as a man and I am with people who identify as men, like, I have the power to change their minds
yeah.
In ways that maybe a woman wouldn't be able to or someone who doesn't look like me would be able to. So it is my job in that moment to try to teach yeah. them and try to, you know, like... Obviously, I would never claim that I know 100% what the right thing to say is and how to say it, but I can try my best and guide those people to the right resources to learn more exactly. about these issues. Exactly. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that's exactly well, and, how I feel about like rap and hip hop yeah. and Black culture and stuff. I'm not trying to. I'm
right.
I'm white as sour cream, kind of. I'm really tan right now. I just went to San Diego. I got a little tan going on. But like that's exactly how I feel because like I grew up around those cultures and like I know a lot more than the average 4'11" white woman in America
right.
would know about rap music and hip hop and the culture and the stories behind it. And not even just like hip hop and rap, but also like the HBCU school, like marching bands and right. all that sorts of like that culture around those things. And I'm not trying to appropriate it. I'm not saying it's mine and I know what these people are going through. But what I am saying is it's fucking cool.
And you're spreading
it. And you gotta chill.
Right.
Because yeah. like
yeah.
this shit's fucking awesome. And you guys right. are just being racist idiots about it.
Right.
And you think that everyone that listens to rap music is a fucking thug that deals cocaine and fucks bitches. Right. And I would love to be doing those things. I'm just kidding. Not actually. I don't really want to deal with cocaine, but fucking bitches would be cool. But yeah. Yeah. I just really think it's important, especially for, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners are straight and white, straight and white.
Straight and white.
Yeah.
maybe. I don't know.
Drag balls. So, House of LaBeija.
Yes.
Oh my God. I forgot that's what.
Way straight.
Tangent. But here's the thing. It's queer, it so like, I can't interrupt. That would be a hate crime.
I'm calling the police. Just kidding, ACAB.
Amen. So Crystal creates the House of LaBeija.
Yes.
She's the mother, and she's acting as a surrogate family for Black and Latino queer kids who are disowned by their family. And this house ball culture is, Sonia described it better, drag competitions pull a lot from house ball culture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about today?
Yeah.
Since the 1970s, the interest in gay bars and the creation of new ones gave drag a home outside of drag balls. This made drag accessible to audiences outside of big cities who may not have encountered drag before and provided an avenue for the general public to enjoy and support drag. Unfortunately, to this day, racism within the art hasn't been remedied.
Boo, tomato, boo.
Fuck racism.
From a 2018 article by Taylor Henderson, out of 67 of the top performing queens, 32 are white, 18 are Black, 12 are Latina, and 5 are Asian. Additionally, as of 2018, no competing Black queens had surpassed 1 million Instagram followers, while one Asian queen, two Latina queens, and 8 white queens have. So,
boo.
It's not even that, like, white women are just winning more competitions. It's that they're literally being favored by audiences because of the racist culture we have in America.
It's so interesting because, like, bringing Drag Race into the picture, because that's also today.
Right.
Like, originally Drag Race, the colors.
The colors?
The colors. No. Damn, that could have been a racist moment right there. Originally on Drag Race, like, people of color were primarily winning, and it was primarily black folks. And, like, as the seasons have progressed, most All-Star winners, I think we only have one black All-Star winner. No, that's a lie, because we now have Shea Coulee. So we have more than one now. But either way, for the longest time, it was, I mean, I think it's still primarily white winners. Yeah. So it's like Drag Race even started as this, like, safe haven for performers of color, primarily black performers, to express their drag and their gender and blah, 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 their queerness. But, like, it has been commodified and capitalismified, I guess you can call it. You
know, put that in a fucking dictionary,
like,
bitch.
The reason that these, like, the reason that it's like this is happening is because at the end of the day, white people are seeking to pay white people.
Right.
Which is problematic in itself, especially when, like, the person who is in charge of the platform, RuPaul, is himself black.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
what
I don't know.
What are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing?
What are we doing,
RuPaul? But obviously, I think things are changing again. Again, it's that pendulum.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting. But yeah, even, like, as a practicing performer, I see that in the community here in Colorado. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Speaking of the community here in Colorado, yeah. I'm going to interrupt your queer thing you got going on here to make it a little more straight. No, I'm just kidding. I'm keeping it so gay, bitch.
I love making it straight.
Do you know the drag queen Anita Tuckett?
I've heard of. I don't think we've worked together, but okay. I know of.
Her out of drag name is Matthew, but I'll reach out to him. He used to live, like, right down the street, and I met him because my friends and I, we needed somewhere to be outside by a pool for 4th of July, like, a couple years ago. And Sam, my roommate, was there. I'm pretty sure Sam met Matthew / Anita. But we were at their, like, condo, the apartment complex pool, and they were playing a bunch of music. And Matthew just starts fucking belting Adele. And it was so fucking good. I think it was Hello. And he was just, like, sitting at the pool, and all of his friends were, like, hyping him up, and me and my friends were like, what? That's so good. And so we were talking to him, and he was like, oh yeah, I do drag me to brunch at our bar.
Yeah,
you guys should come. And so we all went, and it's, like, Anita Tuckett, and then his boyfriend was another Tuckett. But I don't remember his drag name.
Trina?
Maybe,
yes.
Trina? I know Trina? There's a few Tuckets.
Yeah. But we went to Drag Me to Brunch, and this bitch sang Adele again. Oh, and it was so fucking good. And, oh my God, it was so fun. There was a drag king there. Like, I was fucking wasted,
yes,
bitch.
I
was fucking just crumpling up my dollar bills and throwing them.
We love that.
I didn't even care, man. I was just like, take it. Take my money. Yeah. But yeah, if you can, I don't know if she's even performing anymore, but I'll reach out.
Anita, are you performing in a VR?
Anita, come on. Hello.
Anita. Hello. It's me. I love that.
Well, so that's our story.
Yeah.
That's the origins of drag.
Wow.
So, Miss Sonia, where can our listeners find you?
You can find me.
I don't want it to be over. I'm having fun.
Let's watch an episode of Drag Race. Let's go.
Oh my God.
Right?
Live react. Let's get fucking twisted.
Yes.
A drunk review of Drag Race.
Honestly, I'm so down.
Bet. We can do that on my podcast.
Fuck,
that would be fun.
I would love
all
that.
Three of us,
I
and then
would
Zamora.
Be a menace on your podcast, bitch.
Mm.
That would be fun, yeah.
If we had another queer person in the room, there would be no talking, but I'm so game. I'm so game for that.
If you want to see this, hit us up on social media.
Let's do that. I want to do that.
Otherwise, they can find your podcast.
Yes. So my podcast is What the Drag. We only have one social media, and that's on Instagram. Just look up What the Drag. Me, personally, I'm literally on everything. Most of it is at MXSONARITA, except Facebook, where you can just find me as Sonia Rita with the NA, because Facebook is awesome and lets me keep the NA.
Twitter? Fuck yeah. Let you keep the NA.
It does if it's your name, but not your handle.
Yeah.
So my Twitter handle is McSonarita.
Oh.
Yeah. Instagram is also the same. They let me have it in my name, but not.
That's weird.
Not my handle.
That's racist.
Yeah, it is racism. Like, yeah. Who do I? Elon Musk.
Oh,
listen up.
Yeah, this is your game now.
Come listen up, Elon.
Elon, you gotta
stop with the racism.
Elon, more like Elame.
Nice. Sick fucking burn, dude. Literally. Hell yeah.
If you want to see me in person, though.
Ooh, yeah. I do.
When is this going up? Do you know?
June 14th.
June 14th. In 10 days. June 24th. I'm doing a show at the Moxie. You can find that on the Moxie's website or on any of my social media. I'll probably have information about it. There'll probably be an Eventbrite by that point. So yeah, just keep an eye out.
So what's your like? Do you have like a specialty or anything?
I like really honing in on like my Latin culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's so fun fact. My drag name used to be Candace Pussy Pop.
I think Colin told me that.
Yeah. But then I was like, that's too white. And I was driving around and I was listening to Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello, Senorita.
Oh.
And I was like, that's a good drag name, Senorita.
Yeah.
Also, Lady Gaga has a song called, I'm forgetting the name of it, but one of the lyrics is, Sonia was Joanne's best friend or something like that. Like, Sonia was one of her best friends.
Okay.
And I love Lady Gaga, so I was just like, you know what? I'm your best friend now, girl.
Here he is.
I fucking love that.
It's me.
Yeah, Senorita.
I like it.
Yes.
So there's this other show you're doing.
Yes.
This show is the very last show at the music venue that I work at. June 18th. Get your tickets.
And it's my birthday, so I'll probably sing happy birthday, Mr. President.
Okay.
I'm gonna wear Marilyn's dress.
Wait.
Okay.
Let's finish the details and then you can interrupt. You can get your tickets at gressywick.com. It's the last show there. It starts at 7 p.m. It's going to be a fucking blast. Yes. Go out with a bang.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Okay. All right. Listen up. Listen here. We're done with this gay talk.
No more gay shit.
No more gay shit. Absolutely not. We are talking about...
Time to bring out the tractor.
Marilyn Monroe. Because, bitch, do I have a fucking bone to pick, all right?
With Marilyn?
Yes! And I don't know why. But I don't like her. No, shame. Okay. She seems... Sam put it perfectly earlier.
Sam's her roommate.
Sam... Angel. I love her so much, and she's staying on the lease even longer, which is...
We stan.
Great. But Sam said that she, like Marilyn Monroe, reminds her of the type of girl that you knew in high school that kind of, like, made being, like, averagely pretty, like, their whole personality.
Mm.
You know? And they were, like, best friends with, like, the pretty person. You know? And I... feel the same way. I want to like yell right now because I don't like, she's not that good of a singer. She's kind of averagely pretty.
Sucked at acting.
She worst was actor not ever. A good actress. What are we doing?
See,
is it because she just died? And
that's why I love the whole comparison to Kim Kardashian, because she was... Kim Kardashian is arguably the Marilyn Monroe of right now.
Right, yeah.
Like, she doesn't sing.
Millennials.
She doesn't act. She's just good at being herself. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's what Marilyn was.
Here's my thing. Marilyn, listen, all right? Everybody's got their things, all right? I'm not saying I'm the hottest person on the fucking planet, but I do think that, like, Marilyn isn't the prettiest person I've ever seen in my life, and everybody's always like, I look like Marilyn.
Right.
I don't get it. And then they fucking stick Kim Kardashian's huge, giant ass in her dress. And Kim, I read an article, bitch, and it was the most ridiculous thing, because Kim said that she thought the dress was going to be too big. And I think that's disrespectful. But I also don't understand why people care about the stupid dress. Who cares? Why do it's people care? It's also
like, so Ripley's owns this. Like, Ripley's.
Yeah.
Ripley's.
Believe it or not.
Believe it or not. They're the ones who own this. It's not that prestigious of Ripley. Ripley's own.
Like, who?
Come on.
And people on Twitter are losing their minds.
See, I saw. Okay, I did not know that was Marilyn's dress, first of all, but I kept seeing like a comic of Marilyn, and I was like, okay, I don't know who the fuck that's supposed to be. I don't get this. And then I saw like it on the stone mannequin thing. And I thought that it was like an ancient Egyptian artifact or something. And I was like, yeah, that is, you know, what? That is kind of fucking disrespectful. No. So like this whole time I've been like,
Colin thought it was something else.
No.
It's just Marilyn Monroe's fucking dress. Like, and even like, I feel like, I think the way that I'm saying like Marilyn Monroe feels, and maybe this is the marijuana talking, feels the same way that like Christian people feel when they say Jesus Christ, like his name in vain. I feel like I'm doing Marilyn Monroe really fucking dirty right now.
No.
And I feel bad. But at the same time, like, what did she do?
She was just a personality.
She fucked JFK.
She was just a personality.
She and fucked JFK. No.
She's
and
the Sierra Mist of her time.
Honestly, something.
I realize that has your name in it. But you know what I mean? Off,
that's
like
your
the watered down spray.
I don't want to be Sierra Mist. Everybody calls me that. It's really annoying. Okay, Marilyn Monroe is to Kim Kardashian what JFK is to fucking Ray J.
Or Kanye.
No, Ray J. She fucked Ray J.
Oh,
and that's the sex tape, bitch.
Yeah.
I love Ray J. Oh my God.
I'll be honest, the one thing I will give the critics of this whole shabakal is that originally the dress was like made to look like Marilyn's skin tone.
Yeah.
So she looked like she was on that stage naked. Mm-hmm. So like the blasphemy of going up on that stage and looking like you're naked and seeing into the president, like that was revolutionary.
Burner at the stake.
And it didn't look like a nude illusion on Kim because she's way too tan.
The happy birthday Mr. President thing got you off.
Yeah.
Because, all right, it's just one of my things, man. Who fucking is a dress? Who fucking cares? Ripley's has it.
I think a pharaoh wore it, so.
Yeah, a pharaoh did wear it. Me, just kidding.
No, Marilyn Monroe, apparently.
One thing I will also point out about the Met Gala this year is that I think it's ironic that the theme was Gilded Age. And
literally the night of the Met Gala, abortion rights were being maybe taken away by the Supreme Court of the United States.
And all these rich people are just parading in their costumes.
Yeah.
Very Gilded Age. Very Gilded
it's
Age.
It's as a woman, I am probably going to go buy a gun.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's go together.
I'm just saying, as a woman, I'm probably going to go buy a firearm.
Well, I mean, when Trump was elected, people were like grabbing women.
Yeah.
Like, grabbing pussies.
Yeah.
Because he said, grab her by the pussy.
If someone ever like people were doing does that to me, ever, I will. That's going to be admissible in court. So, Sam and I are on this cycle right now where every Thursday she comes home from work at about 3 and she says, I don't want to do anything. And I say, I'm not doing anything. And then we just proceed to get absolutely fucked up on any substance in our house. So 2 Thursdays ago, it was the rest of your Topo Chicos. I'm so sorry. I'll pay you back. I'm so sorry.
I was wondering. I was like.
So, no, yeah, we did that. And then and we sat out on the front porch and we were being yard people. And we practiced throwing rocks at the squirrels that my neighbors feed. And it was great. And we got super drunk. And by 8:30, we were both in bed. It was awesome. So this last Thursday, we decided to consume tons of marijuana and watch Dance Moms compilations. And I just, you get it. Thank you.
I love Dance Moms.
You can come back any week.
You can come back anytime. That's literally what we were watching before you guys walked in.
Like, literal iconic.
Yeah, it's so good. But she watched a bunch of Dance Moms compilations with me while we were both really high. And she was like getting to know all the like Dance Moms lore. And I was like, and that's Abby. And she fucking hates this shit. And like all this shit just spilling all the tea. And while we were doing that, one of the songs that the girls were dancing to was called Wishbone. Mm. And Sam turns to me and she goes, do you know Wishbone the dog?
Who's Wishbone the dog?
And I, that's what I said. I said, I'm pretty sure I do not know.
Cartoon dog, right?
So Wishbone the dog is, I don't know. I guess it was a PBS show. And they would dress him up in little outfits and he would go on little adventures.
I do remember. I remember seeing this.
He kind of looks like Pancake.
He does.
Pancake, you look like Wishbone.
Oh my gosh, Pinky.
But,
Wishbone.
Yeah, he's like, and I was just like, I've never heard of Wishbone in my life, but he's really cute. Pictures are on the blog. Go look at Wishbone.
It looks like a fake dog.
It's not a fake dog.
Fake dog.
Fake news. Anyways, that's Wishbone the dog. Okay. and then my next one is White Russians, because I apparently have a lot of opinions about White Russians. Like, the first one being that they're fucking gross and why do they fucking exist? Wait, the second one being, don't, why are you,
people?
Why, the people? Why are you mixing hard liquor with dairy?
Ew.
That's what a White Russian is.
I didn't know what a White Russian was.
A White Russian is like fucking vodka and what? Milk? No.
Ew.
Or like creamer or something like that. What's a White Russian? Did you Google it?
No, I'm looking at my notes.
Okay,
app.
Hang on. Let me go.
Because this morning I was like, oh, fuck, I don't have any notes. And it's been 2 weeks since I've recorded with Sierra.
A cocktail made with vodka, coffee, liquor, and cream. Coffee, liqueur, and cream.
Liqueur. Liqueur.
So I hate White Russians. And that's my personal vendetta against Marilyn Monroe and White Russians. I hate them both, and they both suck. The last thing is. We were watching TV and there was a commercial for Bed Bath & Beyond and Annabelle started talking about Bath & Body Works and she looks at the TV and she goes, I really want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond Works. I really want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond, Beyond Bath, because like they're really easy to get mixed up. And I just look at her and I go, Bed Bath & Beyond Meat.
No.
Like, you know how at Costco they give out the free samples? It would be like a Bed Bath & Beyond, but you get snacks. And they're all veggie meat. Vegan.
Woo! Oh my God. You guys invented a whole new
Bed
store.
Bath & Beyond meat.
What's a whole new
You're
going to
be rich.
That's intellectual property. It's just like Grandma Pam Nas. If anyone takes it, I'm going to be pissed.
We're 60 seconds away from 2 hours of being in these chairs. It has not felt like 2 hours,
no.
Though.
No, it hasn't.
Usually, so, at the end of the episode, I'm like, ugh.
Usually, at the end of the episode, I'm like, everybody get the fuck out right
Honestly,
now.
Honestly, I could go on. Let's keep going. Just kidding. For real. Okay. The world's about to end. Bye, everyone.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. fight for women's rights. Get our stickers. Respect your local woman. buy our merch and I don't know.
Follow Sonia Rita everywhere.
Yeah, follow Sonia Rita.
But not like stalker.
If you want
on
my dirty
media.
Twitter, let me know.
Oh my God.
and come to drag shows.
And yeah. On my face.
All right. Thanks for listening. Join us next week when we talk about. Bye.
Bye.